Good morning. It's good to see everyone here, those who are able to be here. We also have some joining us online, and we're glad that we have that ability to provide for those who are unable to be here today. But it's good to see everyone, and what an encouragement it is to be together to worship God. I don't know about you, but it seems like over the past several months, there's not been a lot to really be excited about. But this past week, we've had plenty to be excited about. We finally were able to have some Bible classes the last Sunday afternoon and again on Wednesday night, and it was exciting. It felt good to come into the building on Wednesday night to see children in those classrooms and how excited and happy that they were, and it was exciting and it was encouraging. And if you were not here for those, I would encourage you to try to make plans to be here this afternoon at 5 o'clock for those Bible classes and again on Wednesday night, because you will be encouraged. You will be uplifted by that experience. It's been so long since we've been able to have that, and certainly it is great to have some sense of normality maybe coming back, and we are blessed that we were able to do that. Something else I'm excited about, and that is the possibility or where we're moving toward adding new elders for us, additional elders for us here at Veterans Parkway. That's something to be excited about, that we have grown in that way and that there are men here who I believe are qualified and to take on that role and to help those who are already serving in that role as an elder. You see, leadership is very important in many areas of our life. It's true in the business world. If a business is going to be successful, they need good leadership, solid leadership. We also see that leadership is in sports. You have a good team captain who holds people accountable, who encourages people. That type of leadership, it's very important. It's important in the political world. We want government leaders who are good, strong leaders. It's important, leadership. And that's especially true in the Lord's church. Leadership is important. Elders make the Lord's church stronger. They direct the Lord's church toward God's will and what God wants us to be. And so that leadership is very, very important. In Acts 20 and verse 28, Acts 20 verse 28, it says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves." As we see, the shepherds are those who protect the sheep. The shepherds are the ones who are there to protect and to guard. You know, when it comes to our homes, we like to feel secure in our homes, don't we? So you may have a security system in your home, or at least we'll lock the doors at night to feel secure in our home. That security is a good feeling. Maybe you have a dog that will bark when someone comes to the door. I have a dachshund. I've always said, no, he's not going to do much if somebody tries to come in and attack me or anything, but nobody's going to sneak up on me. He's going to let me know someone's there. And that's how we see we want that security. Security makes us feel good. We value it. When a church has elders who study God's word and lead the church in the direction of the Lord's will, we have that security. They protect us from false teaching. They protect us from both distress from the outside and from the inside. And we need to appreciate that leadership in the church. But we think about leadership, and that's something that looks as a positive thing, which it is. And I think it's interesting because we're always telling our kids and everyone, well, be a leader, be a leader. But I thought about it the other day, and I was like, well, if everyone is a leader, then there will be no followers. And if there's no followers, are you really leading? You see, there's importance as well to being a follower. And sometimes I think in our culture today, we look at being a follower as something negative. You don't want to follow people. You want to be the one that everybody else is following, right? You want to be the leader. Well, we need to understand, I think, especially in the Lord's church, that it's important that there are followers and that we are to be good followers of the leadership that is put in place. And ultimately, we are to be followers of Christ. We can't be leaders when it comes to Christ. We can't lead Christ. He leads us. And so I think oftentimes we don't think about what it means to be a good follower because, as I said, in our culture, that looks is kind of a negative thing to be a follower. So this morning I want to talk about for a minute what it means to be a good follower as it pertains to the church and God's organization for it. Because we must be good followers of the leadership that's put in place by the Lord. For a church to be effective and to grow and to be what God wants it to be, then it means that we will follow the leadership and be a good follower. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul says, "Let the rulers who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word." When I read that, I think about the idea of being ruled. And that's another idea that people don't really like to think about. They don't want someone ruling them because the image that comes to mind is the one that rules with the iron fist that just barks out commands for everyone to do. Well, that's not the idea of rule as it's used here and as it's used in as it pertains to elders. The idea here of rule is that the elders are to lead or to guide. That sounds a little bit less harsh, doesn't it? And that type of leadership is the leadership of elders as it's described by Peter. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. 1 Peter 5, 1, it says, "The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseer, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when Christ the shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." Elders are to be servant leaders. I think we're blessed with men who have taken on that servant leadership role. And they understand that as Christ was a servant leader, he served. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And that's the pattern for the eldership as they lead as well. To be servant leaders. Jesus serves as that perfect model of leadership. Servant leadership. Although Jesus was firm, he always treated his disciples, his followers, with love. He was in complete submission to his heavenly Father. And we see that he was one who didn't rule with a crown, like we think of most kings. He ruled with a bowl of water as he washed the feet of his disciples. You see, that's what servant leadership is all about. And when we see the picture of Christ, that's the picture that he gives us. That he was truly the servant, humble leader of his disciples. So this morning, I'd like to consider us as followers. And as we do, what does it take to be a good follower? What are our responsibility to our elders? Because I think this is important for us to understand and for us to follow in the right way. And I'd just like to look at just a few scriptures that really talk about our responsibility to our elders and just pull some few points from each of those this morning. I'd like to start in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. And it says here, "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. The first thing we see in this scripture is it tells us to recognize the elders, to recognize those who rule over you. What does it mean to recognize them? To know what they look like? I mean, that's not what it's really saying here. To recognize them here means that we will appreciate them. I think the New American Standard maybe translates it in that way. Appreciate them, to recognize, to appreciate the work that they are doing. That we'll acknowledge these men as the elders. We'll acknowledge the authority that they have over us in the Lord. And that we acknowledge the role that they have in leading the church according to what God's will is. That's what it means to recognize them. So to be a good follower of the leadership that's in place, we will recognize them as the leaders. We will recognize the authority that they have over the church, local congregation here. It also says there in that verse to esteem them highly. Esteem the elders very highly, as it says. That means we give them respect. We give them respect and honor. We look up to them. Why do we do that? Well, because of the work that they are doing. Because they have taken that upon themselves to do that and are fulfilling the role that the Lord has given. As I said earlier, they have a tremendous responsibility. And the elders are deserving of honor and respect for their willingness to lead and to oversee our congregation here at Veterans Parkway. The work of an elder is not easy. It's a very difficult one. And for all the hard work that they do, I think that we should all recognize that hard work and that we should appreciate it. You know, I think anybody that does any hard work, we like to be recognized for our effort, don't we? We like to be recognized when we're doing something. At least, you know, a thank you every once in a while, some people will say. You know, as parents, when you're doing things for your kids, you like to think that they appreciate it. That they recognize it. Again, that they do say thank you. Well, if we want to be recognized for our hard work, then should we not recognize others for their hard work? That goes back to the golden rule, right? That certainly is the case with our elders. That if that's what we like and that's what we would want someone to do for us, then shouldn't we be doing that for them? So recognize them. Esteem them highly. In Hebrews 13 is another scripture I'd like to look at that gives us some responsibilities that we must give to our elders. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, consider the outcome of their conduct. So we see that we are to remember them. Remember those who rule over us. What does that mean? Don't forget who they are? I think it goes a little bit deeper than that. Remember them. We're mindful of the elders. We're mindful of their admonitions to us. What they teach us, we're mindful of the role that they are fulfilling in the Lord's church. We don't take them for granted. I think that's probably sums it up the best way. We don't take them for granted when we remember them. We remember them in our prayers. That they can have the wisdom to lead in the way that God would have them to do. We remember them. We remember them because they speak the word of God to us. And we need to remember the elders because they're trying to help us, to show us how to improve ourselves from God's word. And that's why we remember them. And we remember and we are mindful of them and their admonitions to us. So we remember them. But also here in Hebrews 3, it says to imitate them or to follow their example, whose faith follow, it says. We imitate them. We follow their example. We read that earlier in another scripture as well. To follow the example of the elders. You know, something true, I think, of all Christians is that, but especially, I guess, the elders, is that we should be living in a way that others can follow our example. That's true for all of us as Christians. But especially for elders, this is why the elder, I think one of the qualifications, when we get into talking about that, is he shouldn't be a novice. In other words, he needs to be mature in the faith. And as we see, if an elder meets the qualifications that were given to us through the wisdom of God, then certainly then they would be someone who is worthy example for others to follow. And therefore, this idea of following their faith, following their example, is a responsibility that we have to our elders. All Christians should strive to grow, to become more mature in Christ. And the elders are that example of spiritual maturity that we need to follow. And kind of an extension of this, I'm going to add that we need to trust our elders. You know, we follow their example, and that means we put some trust in them. The elders have shown themselves to be examples for us to follow. Then we should trust the decisions that they make, that they are the right decisions because they're holding to the truth of God. That's important, I think, is to put trust in them. The elders who are in the Lord, the Lord elders that speak the word of God to us, as it says here in Hebrews 13 and verse 7, they know what they're talking about. And so we need to trust those decisions that they make. Elders have to meet those qualifications, as we said, given by the wisdom of God. And when they meet those qualifications, that should give us some confidence that they can make the decisions that need to be made. And we trust that, and we support that. And that's why it's important for us to give careful consideration when we start looking at the qualifications about the men who meet those qualifications, because if we really want to put our trust and our confidence in them, it's important that they do meet those qualifications that God has given us so that we can have that confidence in their ability to serve. Men who meet those qualifications, though, as I said, we should be able to have that confidence in because they're meeting the qualifications that God, in His wisdom, has given us. You know, some churches have a lot of armchair quarterbacking going on. You ever heard of that? You know, the guy that sits in his easy chair and watches the football game, but he knows all the things that they're doing wrong or right, and he knows how to fix it all, right? Well, a lot of people, I think, maybe we should call them pew-sitting elders instead of armchair quarterbacks. They look at the decisions that are made, and they're like, well, maybe they shouldn't have done this, or they should do this. And what's interesting about it, it's usually all in hindsight after they see how things work out, and then they know all the answers to how things should have happened, right? We can't do that. We have to have our trust in them and in their ability to make those decisions. We can't sit back and just nitpick and criticize every decision that is made. I like what Ronald Reagan would say about the Soviet Union. It was an old Russian proverb, actually. He would say, trust, but verify. Now, I'm not saying the elders are enemy or that they're communists. Don't get me wrong. But the idea of trust but verify, as someone who stands before you and preaches and teaches the gospel, I hope that's the attitude that you have toward me. You trust what I say, but I hope you look at the Bible and verify what I say, that it is the truth. I can make mistakes. I can be wrong. And likewise with the elders, we trust them, but we verify it in all things by what God tells us, by what His Word says. And I think the elders would agree that we shouldn't take something as truth just because they say it, but we need to verify it as the truth. Many people have been led astray because they've listened and trusted the wrong people without verifying it according to God's Word. The elders look out for our souls, and we have to trust those decisions that they make. And as long, again, as it doesn't go against God's Word. You know, over the past, 10 months now, I doubt our elders are elders all over the world. ever felt that or thought that they'd have to make some of the tough decisions that they've had to make in the middle of a worldwide pandemic. And I think it's interesting because, you know, some have made different decisions depending on the needs of the congregation that they are at. And I think that's the beauty and the wisdom of God and the autonomy of local congregations in that way. And I'm appreciative and thankful that we're blessed with men who look at this and make the difficult decisions with the best that they can, that are balancing spiritual needs and physical needs and all those kinds of things. It's not easy. And again, it's easy for us or for anyone to maybe sit back and question it or criticize it. But again, this is where that trust comes in. And trust that they are making the best decisions with what they can do instead of second-guessing those decisions. Of a more important matter, though, according to certain spiritual matters that may come up, the elders have to sometimes make the very difficult decisions about withdrawing fellowship from members who walk disorderly. And that's never an easy thing. We trust that they have not taken those decisions lightly, that they are doing and taking those steps to save the soul of the one in error and to keep the church pure as God has commanded us to do. And therefore, when those decisions have to be made, it's important that we support those decisions and trust the judgment of our elders. And that brings me to really the next point, and that is obey our elders and submit to them. While you're there in Hebrews 13, look on down in verse 17. It says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as they must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Obey and submit. Now again, those are two words that we really don't like. Most people don't like to hear those words. And again, I think people have the wrong idea about those what those words really mean from a Bible perspective. Elders, as we see, they're not dictators that are, as I said earlier, going to rule with an iron fist. Instead, they are going to lead as servant leaders. But it's important that we submit and obey them. Now, when we obey God, one of the things that should lead us and motivate us in our obedience to God, obviously, is our love for Him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll show that by obeying me. And I think the same thing when it comes to our elders. Again, as long as they're not going against God's word, then we show that love for them. We're motivated by, again, some of these things we've already talked about. If we're recognizing the work that they're doing, if we're appreciative of it, if we respect them and we're esteeming them highly, if we really trust them, if we're doing those things, then obedience and submitting to them is not going to be that difficult because we're going to have that trust in them. Obedience is when we follow out of respect. And that's important that, again, going back to why we need to have that respect and to esteem them, that's important because when it comes down to, okay, am I going to obey and submit to what they say? Well, if we don't have these other things, then that's going to make that difficult. So obedience is when we follow out of respect, when we esteem them and have respect for the hard work they're doing, the obedience will follow. When the elders of the church, as we say, rule well with the Spirit of Christ, a servant leader with humility, and make decisions that we know aren't out of selfish ambition, but instead out of love for the Lord and out of love for us and the church, then we as a congregation should be willing to submit to their leadership and obey them. You see, they're trying to get us to heaven. That's what they're trying to do. And so we need to appreciate that and obey them as they will try to help get us there. The congregation has responsibilities to obey the elder when they're given directions. If an elder say we need to meet at a certain time, well, we need to meet at that time. The elders say we need to pray for someone, then we need to pray for that person. The elders tell you that we need to change or repent of something, then we need to repent. If the elders say we need to withdraw fellowship from someone, then we need to trust that and support that decision. We need to obey and submit to what they say. We are sheep, and the eldership is shepherding or guiding us. And as the sheep, we need to go where the shepherd leads us. Also, as we read here in Hebrews 13, verse 17, we're to help them be able to serve with joy. And that's important. Another reason we obey the elders is we can fulfill, we help them fulfill that role with joy instead of grief. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1, Paul says, a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop or an elder, it says he desires a good work. I wonder how many elders there are, though, that look at this and after doing it a while wonder just how good it is. Because they can't find any happiness or joy in doing it. Maybe they're questioning just how good the work is because the treatment that they receive as elders. Think about it if you're a parent with a child. When your child is obedient, does what you want them to do, they're well behaved, it gives you joy, doesn't it? It makes being happy a little bit easier. It makes your job as a parent easier, right? But if you have a child who is not doing what you're telling him to do, is disobedient, is unruly, that brings a little bit of grief, doesn't it? It makes the job of parenting a little bit more difficult, doesn't it? Sometimes maybe you don't find as much joy in that when that's the case. And it's the same is true with the eldership in the church. When a congregation willingly obeys the elders, it makes their job easier. And when a congregation, or maybe just a few in that congregation, decides that they're going to cause problems, well, it can cause the life of the elders to be miserable. And so it's important that we help them serve and be able to have joy in their service. It's important that we do that. How do we do that? Well, all the things on that list right here, we do those things. And if we do those things and fulfill those things and meet these responsibilities to our shepherds, then they will be able to serve with joy and not with grief. Give them the freedom to pursue God's will and lead the church, and they will be able to serve with joy. When a man serves as an elder, he rules well and rules well with Christ-like humility and servant leadership. He is deserving of the highest respect, the greatest honor, and our prayers on his behalf. I'll close with a story about President James A. Garfield. He was the 20th president of the United States. James A. Garfield only served 200 days in office because he was assassinated. But something you may not know about James A. Garfield, he wrote that at the age of 19, he was planning on going on a riverboat trip with his friends. A few days before that trip was supposed to happen, though, he had an accident, injured his foot chopping wood, and therefore was unable to go on that trip with his friends. While he was at home, someone invited him to go to a revival meeting. Since all of his friends were not there, he didn't have anything else to do anyway. He decided, well, might as well go, don't have anything else to do. He went to that revival meeting and he heard the gospel preached. And he wrote this. He said, the message touched me deeply. And as a result, I surrendered my heart to the Lord and was baptized into his kingdom. Garfield spent time actually here in Murfreesboro during the Battle of Stones River and the American Civil War. And when he was here in Murfreesboro, he actually attended and worshiped at East Main Street Church of Christ as a member of the Lord's Church. Later on, James A. Garfield would become an elder of a church in Ohio. And he was serving as an elder when he was elected to be president of the United States. On the Sunday morning before he was to leave for Washington, he stood before his congregation, and this was the statement that he made. He says, "Today I resign the highest office in the land to become the president of the United States." James A. Garfield looked at his role as an elder in the Lord's church as being a higher office than becoming president of the United States. When you think about it, it's very true. You know, a president looks out mostly for the physical welfare of people. An elder in the Lord's church look out for the eternal souls of those they are leading. And we have that perspective to understand the role of an elder. I love the perspective that President Garfield had, understanding the high position and the noble position of being an elder. To our elders, we appreciate you and we thank you for the service that you're giving us and the leadership that you're giving us. And for those men who we hope that we can appoint some additional elders in the future, in the near future, we hope that you'll consider this very seriously. I believe we have other men here who are well qualified for that. And again, it's an exciting time for us to be able to be looking in that direction. It's a sign of our growth as a congregation, and I think it can lead to further growth for us as we see that we do have men who can take on that high office, that great responsibility of leading us. But let us, as a church, understand our role as followers. Let us as a church understand what our obligation is to those men who are leading. Let us do our best so that we can be all that the Lord wants us to be here as His church at this location. If you're here this morning as we sing the song of invitation and never obeyed the gospel, we offer you that opportunity. Come believing in Jesus, repent of your sins, and be baptized. We offer you that this morning. If you have sinned and need to make changes in your life, repent of those sins, ask God to forgive you. We'll pray with you, encourage you. If we can help you in any way, we hope you'll come while we stand and sing.